Hello, this is Michael Beach, and you are dialed into the Arizona Technology Council Tech Focus Member Spotlight Podcast. We welcome you to the podcast where we highlight the thought leaders and entrepreneurs who are growing Arizona's prominence as a world-class technology business hub. Each of our episodes features innovative entrepreneurs, transformative leaders, and technology titans. These are people who are reshaping the state's evolving tech ecosystem as we speak. All of us at the Arizona Technology Council and at Michael Beach Coaching and Consulting are excited to be able to bring you this podcast every month. We love bringing you closer to the great companies and the fantastic leaders who help you to learn more about what's happening in the technology sector right here in Arizona. As always, today's episode is moderated by Linda Drake, a renowned leadership coach and business advisor with Michael Beach Coaching and Consulting right here in Tucson, Arizona. Linda, it's great to see you, and I hope you're as excited as I am about today's episode and the special guest that you're going to introduce to our audience. Please take it away, Linda.
Thank you, Michael. It's another opportunity here to do another AZ Tech Focus member podcast. I'm Linda Drake, and I work with Michael Beach Coaching and Consulting. This session, we'll be talking about Freefall Aerospace and interviewing their CEO, Doug Stetson. Freefall Aerospace is developing revolutionary new antenna technology for ground, air, and space. Their innovative spherical antennas are drawing interest from a wide variety of commercial and government organizations because they are offering a wide field of view, electronic steering, and low mass to dramatically simplify and improve satellite communications. Freefall was founded in Arizona as a spinoff from the University of Arizona and maintains a close connection with the U of A faculty and supporters. So we're delighted to have Doug Stetson here interviewing for this podcast. He's the CEO of Freefall Aerospace, where they are developing this innovative antenna technology for satellite communications. Before founding Freefall, Doug spent 30 years at NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory, having lead roles in systems engineering and mission designs for Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn missions. After leaving JPL in 2008, Doug was the project manager for the LightSail mission that successfully deployed and tested a solar sail in Earth's orbit. Doug holds a BS in physics and an MS in aeronautics and astronautics from Stanford University. He is the recipient of the NASA Exceptional Achievement Medal and received the JPL Award for Excellence in Leadership. My word, Doug, what wonderful credentials you have. It is just a delight to talk with you today.
Well, thank you very much, Linda. I really appreciate the opportunity.
This is just great. So tell us and tell our listeners about your innovative antenna technology.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, we're a spinoff from the University of Arizona, and most of the technology that we're commercializing, developing, was invented by my co-founder, which is Dr. Chris Walker. He's a professor of astronomy at the U of A. And Chris and I were working together on one of his NASA astrophysics proposals, a mission that's called Gusto, which is actually going to launch from Antarctica next year. And we realized that much of the technology that he was developing could be adapted for use on small spacecraft. And if you follow the space industry at all, you know that the small spacecraft called CubeSats or other small spacecraft are all the rage right now, both for commercial as well as government applications. But one of the fundamental limitations of these otherwise very capable small spacecraft is that they are not able to provide large amounts of data to the ground. They simply don't have the power or the steering capability or the mass available to bring large antennas to get high data rates down to the ground. And that's been a fundamental barrier for these small spacecraft. And in working with Chris, we realized that we could help to break through that barrier by using an adaptation of his astrophysics techniques. And we kind of came at the problem of small spacecraft communications from a totally different angle. We didn't set out to try to build a better antenna. We were originally trying to build better astronomical detectors. But this sort of different perspective that we have gave us a sort of a unique opportunity to cut through the problem and come up with a unique solution. And that solution, as you mentioned earlier, relies on what we call spherical reflectors, quite different than the normal antennas that everybody is used to, your DirecTV antenna or other antennas that you typically see, you know, along the side of the road. Those are parabolic in shape, and the parabola has a lot of advantages, but some key disadvantages as well. It has what we call a very narrow field of view, whereas a spherical reflector has a very wide field of view, and that gives us an opportunity to dramatically simplify and lower the cost of communications.
This is amazing to be able to get the data into the places where it needs to be, and to rely on a new technology, which is a spherical reflector. And so I know that government sources and commercial sources have been talking to you. What kinds of problems will it solve for both government and commercial sources?
The fundamental issue, and this all gets to what we call global connectivity. And now it's interesting sometimes to realize that, you know, although we take it for granted, here, much of the world, two-thirds, three-quarters of the world, really does not have reliable access to the internet or to regular communications technology. We call this the digital divide. So one way to solve that is being pursued by a number of large companies, is to put up large constellations of spacecraft in Earth orbit to provide 24/7 global connectivity all around the world. And what this relies on, and of course, Elon Musk is sort of the poster child of this technology with his company SpaceX. What this relies on is many, many hundreds, maybe thousands of small spacecraft that are all orbiting the Earth and providing data down to the ground. But as we said, there are limitations to how much data these small spacecraft can provide. So really, it's being driven by the desire to provide global connectivity all around the world all the time. And as you can imagine, that's a huge industry. It's not just SpaceX, although you hear the most about them, but there's companies such as OneWeb and Planet and even Amazon considering putting up their own constellations of small communication spacecraft. So the good thing for us is that every single one of those spacecraft has to have an antenna. That's the only way that spacecraft can communicate to the ground. And in fact, when you think about it, the only reason that anything is put in space ever is so it can send data back to the ground. And so all of this antenna technology, we think, will have very broad applications throughout the industry, both in space and on the ground. And it turns out that although we started looking at the problem of spacecraft antenna systems, the same technology that we're developing can be just as useful or even more useful for antennas on the ground to receive all of that data. So we're really looking at both angles of the problem right now, and we see a tremendous potential for the technology.
Doug, what makes this spherical reflector so unique? Many of the people listening are not going to be high-tech individuals like you are. So if you could explain to us in simple terms, what makes it so unique?
Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, if you think of a spherical surface, it is the same in all directions. So any incoming radiation or radio energy that hits a spherical surface, no matter what direction it's coming from, it's going to reflect to a certain region that we call a focal line. Quite different from the parabolic reflectors that are typically used, they focus energy to a focal point. So what that means is that a parabola must be very precisely pointed at its intended communication target in order to get a strong signal. If the parabola is pointed just a few degrees off of the proper axis, then the signal drops down to almost zero. A sphere, on the other hand, doesn't have that problem. It has what we call a very wide field of view, and it's symmetric about all axes. So if you have a spherical reflector, basically like a punch bowl that's sitting on the ground, it essentially can see the entire sky. And radiation that's coming in from any direction will reflect off of that reflector and to what we call the focal line. So it gives us this, what we call a wide field of view, which is very important and can tremendously simplify the problem of acquiring and then tracking a satellite as it moves across the sky. And conversely, it can simplify the problem if you're in space of pointing an antenna at a ground station and making that higher data rate link. So that wide field of view of a spherical reflector is one of the fundamental differences between this technology and the typical antenna technology that most antennas use.
Very, very innovative, Doug. And I know you talked about trying to eliminate the digital divide and go to 24/7 in terms of global communications. But what are some of the practical applications of this technology?
Well, fundamentally, it's all about communications. And from a practical point of view, when you think about it, every bit of data, whether it's a Facebook post or a message to grandma or anything, every bit of data, almost every bit of data that is transmitted at some point traverses through an antenna. And so the more efficient and low power and lightweight we can make these antennas, the lower the cost of providing this kind of global connectivity. So really, ultimately, it boils down to how much data can be transmitted per dollar. And the more efficiently that can be done, the better. The cost of communication will come down. The cost of spacecraft will come down because we can make them much more lightweight and simplify the operations by using this wide field of view antenna. The cost of the ground antennas to receive the data will come down because we can eliminate a lot of the complex pointing control that's required. So ultimately, the main practical benefit is just reducing the cost and therefore making global connectivity really available to everyone and bridging that digital divide. So that's really, I think, the fundamental practical advantage of this approach.
Boy, that's tremendous. And to eliminate the digital divide, give people more access, 24/7 communication all around the world, very significant while reducing the cost, which is also significant.
Right. Well, it's always the bottom line. Any company needs to be cognizant of the cost, and whoever can be most efficient will garner the most business and be more successful. Similarly, for government applications, for military applications, rely extensively on satellite communications, and the same benefits will apply there as well. So we really see applications for this technology across commercial as well as government, military, and scientific programs, all of which rely on the ability to efficiently communicate large amounts of data. And that's what we're all about.
Doug, I'm extremely impressed with the revolutionary elements you're putting into antennas and enabling communication worldwide. So what are the challenges of innovating new technology like this?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And there's a tremendous number of challenges. One of the primary challenges that we have faced is recognizing that antennas already exist. It's not like we're inventing something that's brand new. What we're trying to do is make something that already exists better. And the challenge for us, one of the challenges, has been to show that not only is it better to adopt our technology, it has to be a lot better because the companies that we're working with, customers that we're trying to build, they already have solutions that they've been building and using for years in some cases. So in order to really encourage utilization of a brand new approach, you have to prove not only does it work, And not only is it an improvement, but it has to be enough of an improvement to motivate them to switch to this new approach. So that is always a challenge. And that's why it's frequently referred to as disruptive technology. In order for a new technology to catch on, it can't be just a little bit better. It has to disrupt the entire industry and be a lot better. And that's what we're trying to do, is be a disruptive force within the communications and antenna industry. And I think with our technology, we're to the point now where we can prove that, yes, in fact, it is disruptive. It is orders of magnitude, potentially orders of magnitude better in different respects than the existing techniques. And that's the thing that can make it successful. So that's one of the challenges, is to really prove the disruptive nature of this technology. The other, and this applies to many, many small companies, startups especially, that are involved in building new hardware, is it's an expensive thing to do. So hardware just costs money. We have to buy equipment. We have to buy test facilities. We have to build things, and then when they don't work, we have to figure out why and build them over again. So it's much more capital intensive than software, which, you know, we found early on in talking to investors that many investors are mainly looking for the new software, the next big app that they can invest in, because it's relatively low cost to do that, low risk. So the hardware technology, on the other hand, tends to be higher risk and higher and more expensive, but higher reward in the long run if we're successful. So we've had a number of challenges in proving the technology and raising the funding that's required to allow us to do that. And just now, I think right this year, we're breaking through both of those barriers. And so we see a lot of promise for the company and for the technology.
Doug, I'm very delighted for your success. And I really want to thank you for your leadership in co-creating this company and actually creating gifts for many, many people that they otherwise might not have. So share with us some of the lessons you've learned in this journey.
Well, I mean, there's a tremendous number of them. I have to admit that I never really intended to start a company. You know, I had spent most of my career at NASA Jet Propulsion Lab, but when the opportunity presented itself, working with Chris Walker here at the University of Arizona, it just was too good to pass up. And so I think one lesson is, you may think you know what you want to do with the rest of your career, but when a great opportunity presents itself, you better take it, because that doesn't happen very often. So looking back on it, it would have been easy to say, well, no, I'd rather just kind of take it easy for the next few years. But I'm really glad that we decided to go this route. Another lesson is, you know, here in Tucson in particular, there's a real sort of energy around the startup community and the technology base that is building here. When we started the company, of course, I still live in Southern California, and it would have been easy for me to say, well, yeah, we'll start this company, but let's headquarter in Southern California so I can stay home. But we made the decision early on to locate here in Tucson because of the connection with the university and because of the real supportive nature of the whole city and the whole Southern Arizona kind of infrastructure, and the Arizona Tech Council has been extremely helpful. So that's another lesson, I think, is if you're going to start a company, which, like I said, I never intended to do, glad I did, but think carefully about where you want that to be and make sure that you go somewhere where all of the elements are there to help you be successful. And that's really what we found here in the Tucson and Southern Arizona area. So I'm very glad that we made that decision early on to stay put here. We have a nice new building here on Fort Lowell Road, you know, a staff here. We have a close relationship with the university. And so it's been a great experience.
Doug, being a member of the Southern Arizona community, I'm delighted that you picked up on the vibration of the energy that's coming out of Southern Arizona and the University of Arizona for creation and, if you will, leading disruptive technology. So what expertise, in order to get where you are going and develop all of this technology, what expertise does your team have?
Well, it's pretty much hardcore engineering. So we have a team of about 10 people right now, of which I think 8 are engineers of various stripes. And electrical engineering, I'd say, is the primary discipline that's required to develop antenna systems. We have mechanical engineers, aerospace, electrical, and just general systems engineering to help kind of knit the whole thing together. So it's really inventing, you know, and developing a new technology like this is something that really relies heavily on good, strong, sound engineering expertise. I'd say the other thing that we've had in our favor is the software tools that are required, and they're really remarkable. In fact, it's hard to believe that companies could have developed all the things that they did 20, 30, 40 years ago before all of the software tools were available, because they allow us to simulate the development, design, and performance of our systems without actually having to build them physically. And that's a tremendous savings in cost and time. And so having access to the software, especially the complex electromagnetic simulation tools that we use all the time, is absolutely critical. So we have people here, one engineer in particular, who specializes in that, and that's been very valuable. And the company called PADT, Phoenix Analysis and Design Technology, I think they're located up in Phoenix, they supply much of that software for us. So we have a good partnership with not just down here in Tucson, but up in the Phoenix area, as well as with Arizona State University. We work with some of the professors and engineers up there. So the hardcore engineering discipline is really what it takes to get a company like this off the ground. Right now, we're at the stage of what I call transforming our technology into actual products. So we're getting help in what you would call product engineering to really refine the designs and put it in a form that we can put in front of customers and have them test it out and see that it's really working, not just as an idea, but as an actual product. Been a key step for us this year.
So you're going from simulation to product engineering, and that's exactly. Progress. That's great progress. Yeah. Good.
Well, we hope so.
I'm really glad, Doug. And so one last question for you, sir. What's your vision for your company and for this technology?
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I think, you know, one thing that we feel really happy about, proud of, is the fact that we can contribute to broadening the horizons and establishing or enabling this vision of global connectivity. As I mentioned earlier, we take it for granted. I mean, we've had the internet and cell phones and all of these tools at our disposal for years, decades in some cases, but much of the world doesn't have that. And so I think it's gratifying that we can play some small role in helping to bridge that gap. And so that's something that makes us feel like we're doing more than just churning out products and hopefully making money for the company. The other thing that I guess would be a vision for us would be to partner with some larger, well-established companies that can really augment our capability. We view ourselves as focusing on the front-end research and development of these new types of antenna systems. I don't envision that we are going to be the kind of company that builds these antennas by the hundreds and puts them in boxes and ships them out the back door. We want to team up with other companies that have that infrastructure and have that capability. And I think that can really sort of multiply the value of what we're doing by having that additional synergy with other larger companies. And we're just now starting to work with some of them, and I'm optimistic that, you know, we'll find those kind of partnerships that'll really help us realize the vision of this technique.
Doug, that's just great. You know, you mentioned being able to share the gift of communication worldwide. You're also going to enable the sharing of intellectual capital, the knowledge that people will get because right now they're unable to communicate. They're unable to understand what's going on outside of their immediate physical sphere. So congratulations, Doug. Congratulations for your team. This is truly innovative, and I want to thank you for the quality of your time today, sir.
Thank you very much, Linda. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
It has been fun, and I just would like to close by saying this was a wonderful interview with Doug Stetson, the CEO of Freefall Aerospace, who is leading technology in satellites that are going to broaden the communication capabilities worldwide. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you very much, Linda. Bye-bye.
Well, that's our episode for today, Arizona Technology Council members. We want to thank our special guest and our moderator, Linda Drake, for another insightful episode of the Tech Focus Member Spotlight Podcast, brought to you by the Arizona Technology Council and Michael Beach Coaching and Consulting. We're excited that our next show will feature Linda Drake talking with another fantastic Arizona Technology Council executive and another example of the fast growth and innovations that are going on right here within our great state of Arizona. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today. And please reach out to Carla Morales at kmorales@aztechcouncil.org if you have a great suggestion for a future episode guest, or if perhaps you want to become a featured guest yourself. We'll look forward to spending our next episode together with you. Until then, remember, invest in innovation, invest in your team, and continue to invest in the technology sector right here in the great state of Arizona. See you next time.